Okay, so we have around just around 25 minutes, so let's go through this really fast. About me, I am Girish. I used to work for ProTech at some point, and now I moved back to India and I work for my own company called Forward by Us. A really quick overview of ODF, then we'll go into how K-Word ODF is designed. We'll look into the testing framework which I wrote and what's happening in K-Word 2 at this point. What's ODF? We are already short of time. I'm sure all of you know what is ODF. It's a XML format for presentations, spreadsheets. Brief history, it all started with StarOffice, which is a commercial app. They open sourced it. We had OpenOffice.org. The OpenOffice.org presentation, I mean the XML format was taken by OSS, and OSS made ODF. The spec is fairly huge. Huge is, of course, relative. OXML, I heard, is around 5,000 pages. So ODF is not that bad. And it's surprisingly readable, which is a bit unfortunate because it means now that we have to read the spec and implement everything as per the spec. For this presentation, I'll be covering only the text part of ODF, the spreadsheets, formulas, and all that. Yeah, we just ignore that. So the text part of ODF is what is called ODT. So when you save a file in Word, it is of the extension .odt. It can contain paragraphs, lists, tables, sections, the standard stuff which you see in Word documents. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of the XML elements which is defined in ODT. Just imagine lots of attributes, lots of XML stuff. Yeah. What does the ODT contain? The ODT is just a zip file, so you can actually call unzip test.odt and you will actually see the contents. There's a manifest.xml which lists the contents of the ODT itself. You have meta.xml which has information like the author information, when was this document created, when was it last modified, things like that. Settings.xml contains the application settings. It can have things like the size of the viewport, when the user was editing it, the printer settings and so on. Content.xml contains the actual content, whatever you typed into the document itself. And then you have styles.xml, which is the formatting information of the content. So the nice thing here is that the content and the styling is separate. So if you have a text called foo and foo is bold, the text foo is kept separately, the boldness is saved separately. The boldness is what I call the style and foo is the text. Let's look into ODT styles. There are different families of styles. You can have an ODT style for paragraphs, for characters, for lists. Each of them have their own attributes. You can also classify them using the concept. There is something called a default style. If you have text, if the text did not define a style, you just fall back to the default style. There's something called name style. Name styles are basically what you see. This is actually not my laptop. F11. Yeah. Thank you. So here you go. So these are what are called as name styles. Background objects. Then you have master styles. Master styles are what give you information about the background of the page, the header and footer information. Then you have automatic styles. Automatic styles are styles, for example, when you press bold or when you press underline in the toolbox. Those are called automatic styles. What's so automatic about them? The user didn't actually give it a name. So what you can do is you apply the style background to a paragraph and or to a character, and then you make it bold. So there are two styles. One is the name style called background, and one is an automatic style, which is basically a difference between the first style and now, and the bold. That is the bold part. Does it make sense? So styles.xml contains the master styles and the name styles. It can sometimes also contain automatic styles. Let's not get into that. But usually the content.xml contains all the automatic styles. So you will have things like if, let's say the user made it bold, the bold information is stored as an automatic style in contents.xml, and the automatic style has a parent style, which is the background. So how is all this stuff implemented in KBOT? We have something called KO Store. KO Store lets you unpack the ODT. Then you can read and write an ODT straight. So if you just look at the sample code, what you can do is you can say KO Store create store test.ODT, and then you can say give me a few IO device for contents or XML, and you can just read the contents straight from it. For parsing XML, we have our own DOM parser. Apparently, the old users or the old developers of KBOT found that Qt DOM was very slow and it was consuming a lot of memory. So what they have written is a Qt DOM parser which loads nodes on demand, which is read-only, and it has no DTD handling. The nice thing is Qt DOM and what we have in KBOT have exact identical API, so you can easily switch back and forth between them. We have a ODF library which is based on, the nice thing about the ODF library is that you can easily get content out of the ODF without having to know the XML schema of your ODF itself. I'm going to skip lots of stuff because there's not much time. We're going to skip this too. So let's look into how the ODF is actually loaded in KBOT. What we do is we extend KubeScribe. KubeScribe is basically KubeText document and the rest of the functions. How do we extend KubeScribe? We need to understand how KubeScribe works. In KubeScribe, what we have is something called KubeText document. KubeText document has lots of paragraphs. Paragraphs have a lot of fragments. Each paragraph can have something called a format. Each of the fragments can also have something called a format. There is a cursor API using which you can modify the document. So you can say cursor.insert text apple, and the text apple goes inside the document. The nice thing about KubeScribe is when you look at all these formats, these formats are actually internally just QMaps. It's a QMap from an int to a variable. So if you have the text as bold, it is just a property called bold, font bold, which is set to true. Font bold is an enum. So what you can do is you can store arbitrary values in the QMap. So let's say in ODF you have a property called drop caps. I can create a custom enum called drop caps and store it as a part of the format, which is basically what we do in KBOT. We just load the ODF document straight into QText document. All the stuff which Qt doesn't understand, we just store them as custom properties inside the Qt document. So what we basically do is we just take QText cursor, we use the QText cursor to modify the QText document itself, and we convert all the ODF properties, like I said, into the specific QText formats, and that's about it. So and what we do after this is that we just throw away the DOM, the XML DOM part. So after I loaded the ODF, what I have is a QText document which has blocks and paragraphs and formats, but this is not actually renderable by Qt itself. Right. While editing the document, we don't really worry about the ODF part at all. We just edit just like how you edit in QText document. We don't keep track of what needs to be done from an ODF point of view. Let's say you make something bold, we just create a QText cursor, we just apply the format to be bold. How do we save the document? We just iterate through the blocks of the document and we write it down. It's as simple as that. The main part here is actually generating the styles, and I skipped lots of stuff in the previous slide, so I'll explain it here in a single shot. What we do is that when we load the style, we store the style as a part of something called a style manager. And we go to the style manager and say, hey, there's a style which has been applied to this fragment called, let's say, heading 1. And the style manager gives you an ID. We store this ID as part of the format itself. So let's say the user edited the format and made it bold when editing the document. While saving, we need two parts of information. One is the original style, and one is the current state, which is that original style plus bold. So what we do is that we take the current format, which is original style plus bold, and we take the we diff it against the original style. How do we know the original style? We have stored the ID of the original style as part of the format. So we just diff them, and once you diff them, you get the automatic style. So that's the way we generate the styles. Lists are quite complex in ODF, partly due to the fact that PubeScript doesn't support nested lists. In ODF, we have lists which can, I think, have around 10 levels of nesting. So what we do is we have our own colist style, and colist style keeps track of the cube text list for each level. The code is extremely complex, especially to generate the numbering of each of the items, because you need 1, 1.2, 1.2.3, and so on. So you have to keep looking back and forth. Yeah, so there's some fun code in there for that. If all this was not complex enough, we have something also called the flake. The thing is that text documents can also have other entities. So let's say a text document can have an embedded formula, or it can have an embedded image. So how do we get all this? How do we load all this internally? What we have is a framework called Flake. Flake is pretty much similar to GraphicsView. You have lots of items, and you place lots of items on the canvas. Flake does the same thing. I believe that one of the reasons why we have Flake is because GraphicsView was not there. I think this was developed before 4.2. Flakes also have other characteristics which are not part of GraphicsView itself, which is, one is tools. What you can have is, if you have a text flake, a text flake can have many tools. Let's say you can edit characters, you can edit the paragraphs. So these things are called tools, and the plugin, which is the flake, can expose these tools. What we have done is that every part of keyword or every part of kOffice is actually a flake. So what the formula, k formula, would actually create a formula flake. Keyword, we have a text flake. And now we can embed one thing into another. PubeScribe has something called Pube Abstract Text Document Layout. You can set a layout on a document. Keyword has its own custom layout. This is primarily because Pube does not support all the features of ODF itself. So it has lots of fun code which will make the text flow around circles and polygons and scatter paths, which was written by Thomas. So now to what I have done. Apart from actually adding lots of ODF features, one of the things with NLNet was that I was supposed to work only on ODF and nothing on the UI part. So they let me work on the UI part only about 2 weeks back. So there are a lot of ODF features in Keyword right now, but there's no UI for that. So for example, we have support for drop cabs and lots of stuff, but there is absolutely no UI. As for the testing framework itself, what we need to basically check is that when we load the document, that all the ODF properties are loaded fine. When we save the document, all the properties are saved fine. How do we test this? I based my test framework on the PubeScript bindings generator. So what I do is I use the keyword code to load everything into a QText document. I have a parallel PubeScript code. The PubeScript creates the document and inserts blocks and fragments just like what is there in the ODD. And then I do a depth comparison of both these QText documents. Why did I use PubeScript bindings? It's primarily because I wanted to play with it. So there's no real logical reason for using PubeScript. In theory, one can also use C++ bindings. Just to give you a quick, this is not my laptop, sorry. So I can't show you that. Yeah, so for those of you who are interested in how the scripts look like, please contact me after the presentation and I can show it to you. So what is the current status? 1.6 actually has pretty good ODD support. I believe David forked the Qt3 text engine and extended it from there, and that's how the Qt 1.6 was. In 2.0, we moved all the text code to Qt3. And then there's also the Flake architecture. There's so much restructuring that there's lots and lots of code. But we simply don't have the time to actually test all of that. We have been playing catch up with what is there right now in 1.6 feature-wise. As a result, we really don't have any plans to keep the API binary compatible for 2.0. The current plan, I believe, is to release 2.0 around December or January. And we have a hard feature freeze like end of mid next month. What's happening right now? The style manager which you saw, which has to actually list all the styles and all the styles need to be applied, that's been worked on by Thomas. I'm working on headers and lists. Table of contents page layout is worked on by Pierre and Sebastian. There's a paragraph tool which is being worked on. And the fact of the matter is we are like 5 to 6 developers. And we really need help. There's a lot of stuff to be done. You can't see it here, but there's a link for Qt audit which shows the list of tasks which just need to be done before 2.0 and we have a good usable application. So if anybody is interested, yeah, please talk to me. A quick note on what Qt actually contributes back. We have been working with lots of we have two members of OASIS itself, Thomas and David. Usually we give our feedbacks on the spec itself to them, and they have actually managed to get lots of changes into the spec. So that's what we have been doing. And that's about it. Yeah, sorry, I mean, I got a bit pressurized on the time. So if something's not clear, I can explain it better now. Now that we have 7 minutes. Any questions? Yes?
Not directly related to your support. What are the plans for play?
What are the plans for play?
Or how does it work?
To be honest, I have no idea. but I think maybe Thomas or Frosten have ideas.
What is the question?
What we plan to do with Flake and how we plan to move forward with it, I guess.
Torsten did in KOft as well.
So there's a lot of overlap, and there's also some design differences there. And it's got a very specific usage of what it's for. For example, we have vector graphics, but one set of vector graphics is a huge set of vector graphics is one item in our tree. So the optimization to have a million of items in the graphics view, that's something we most likely won't ever hit. So these optimizations would be nice, but we're probably not going to have any real use effect.
Yes, we enjoy that.
More questions?
Hi, you said you use Flink for frames and stuff, right? And how do you draw them?
So the...
Yes, it's a question. Flakes can actually draw themselves.
You use QText document for drawing as well.
Yes.
And how does QText document know how to provide this?
Ah, okay. So what we have is we have a custom layouter, right? And the layouter will take care of what it does is, let's say we have a frame. All these are actually objects, so we insert this magic character inside the paragraph, which is not actually rendered. And we have callbacks, which is provided by QStep. QStep will call back and ask you, this is a character which is, looks funny, I mean, what is the width of this? And we would say it is actually 50 pixels wide and 100 pixels in width. So QStep won't paint that block at all during the rendering part. We will figure out that, hey, there is actually a shape there, and we will draw the shape there.
And
QStep
are the
No. No. Is it? The QText. Oh, you mean the callback?
Yeah.
The question is whether the abstract layout can be used in other projects. In theory, yes, not right now. Yeah, but that's the goal. We want it to be reusable.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Okay, so it's actually two short questions. First, the ODF library that's abstract from what you render, actually you said it's probably useful to generate reports, right? Would it be useful to release it separately from PyOffice to get more exposure?
Yeah, so basically the plan for
once the libODF is ready, we do want it as part of any
Yes, that's fine. Okay, thank you.